To understand the Trump administration's new hardline stance in Latin America, most notably in Venezuela, correspondent Whitney Ulick takes us to Miami, home to a man whom many consider to be a key architect of that policy shift. Secretary of State Marco Rubio, who is also serving as interim national security advisor, grew up in a Cuban-American community that had firsthand experience with communism. He understands what a communist regime is and the damage it can cause, says Miguel Cosio, chief operating officer of the American Museum of the Cuban Diaspora in Miami. We're witnessing a philosophical shift in foreign policy. Read more about that in our lead piece today. It's Thursday, December 18th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Krista Case Bryant. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. The U.S. Senate voted overwhelmingly on Wednesday to advance a $901 billion bill setting policy for the Pentagon. The Fiscal 2026 National Defense Authorization Act authorizes a record $901 billion in annual military spending, with a 4% pay raise for troops, purchases of military equipment, and efforts to boost competitiveness. It also provides $800 million for Ukraine. The bill passed 77-20, with strong support from both parties. The House passed it last week. Finland's prime minister has apologized to China, Japan, and South Korea for offensive posts. The incident began when Miss Finland, now stripped of her crown, appeared in a friend's social media post pulling back her eyes, the caption comparing her to a Chinese person. When that drew backlash, three politicians posted similar images on their own profiles. In a statement to embassies, Prime Minister Petteri Orpo said, "These posts do not reflect Finland's values of equality and inclusion." Also, a statue of Barbara Rose Johns replaced that of Confederate General Robert E. Lee in the U.S. Capitol. The civil rights activist was age 16 when she led a walkout in 1951 to protest conditions at her Virginia high school for black students. The student's case went to the Supreme Court and helped end school segregation. During the ceremony, the Republican governor said Ms. Rose courageously organized her schoolmates and stood up to the lie of separate but equal. Now, today's Monitor Stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. The Trump administration's more aggressive approach to Latin America is welcomed by many in the Cuban diaspora. They see one of their own, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, as an architect of the shift that, for them, has been a long time coming. Whitney Ulick reports from Miami for The Monitor. The Bondi Beach massacre has shattered the sense of security held by Australian Jews, generations of whom found a warm haven far from the horrors of Europe. Some now hope Australians see that anti-Semitism is not just a Jewish problem. Dina Kraft reports from Washington for The Monitor. Establishing peace after a conflict is never easy. Following a recent Islamic State attack on its soldiers, the U.S. must weigh whether a return strike creates more problems for itself in a war-torn country than it solves. Anna Mulreen Grobe reports for The Monitor. The fragile peace in Gaza affords an opportunity for Palestinian families whose relatives have gone missing to search for them. Thousands of people disappeared without trace during the war. Their parents and siblings are torn between wanting to learn their fate and fearing they have died. Khada Abdel Fadda reports from Khan Yunis and Deir al-Bala, Gaza, for The Monitor. Riding elephants has been promoted as a quintessential tourist experience in India. A nonprofit headquartered in New Delhi encourages compassionate alternatives. Contributor Anne Pinto Rodriguez reports from Farah, India, for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on invites for a corruption-free life. Over the past week, Romania has been rocked by protests against corruption. Like many of its neighbors, the Eastern European nation has seen similar uprisings for more than a decade. This time, however, many protesters have appealed to people's better angels. They lean toward affirming principles of governance, rather than merely opposing evil acts. One chant favored during the protests, for example, is "Justice, no corruption." Another is "Integrity, not complicity." One protest sign reads, "Respect for honest magistrates." In the midst of the demonstrations, which focus on a media report that some judges helped officials avoid trials on corruption charges, hundreds of judges and prosecutors signed an open letter. It supports whistleblowers inside the judicial system who, despite threats of punishment, bravely expose wrongdoing. "Truth and integrity must not be penalized, but protected," the letter stated. This shift toward an emphasis on higher qualities of thought was made clear in Romania earlier this year. A former anti-corruption activist, Nicușor Dan, became president in May after winning an election with the slogan, "Honest Romania." Now, in response to the letter, he invited prosecutors and judges to an open-ended discussion on judicial reform December 22nd. The date is remembered as the anniversary of the end of a dictatorship in 1989. Like many countries still mired in corruption despite reforms in laws and institutions, Romania struggles with defining corruption in many situations, or effectively measuring it. In early December, the United Nations held its second global conference on corruption measurement. The effort is more than a technical exercise. It's a foundation for building integrity systems that rely on evidence, said Marcus Nieto, UN Assistant Secretary General. In fact, one of the newer ways of tallying corruption in countries is the Index of Public Integrity. It has been effective in focusing attention on three pillars that help embed trust in government: an independent judiciary, a free press, and digitally empowered citizens. For Romanians protesting on the streets, their selfless appeals to people's integrity and similar immeasurable traits are not simply the inverse of corruption. They are an invitation to participate in a corruption-free life. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, when we let Christ lead us, grace and goodwill abound, even in unexpected ways. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas, Victoria Hoffman, and Tim Malone.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2025.